My friends and brethren in the Lord, God is gracious and merciful, so that He works in mysterious ways, in unexpected ways, so that we are just surprised and amazed of His working when there is no condition that we have to do in order for Him to show His blessing and great work in our lives. So in this Psalm, Psalm 126, we can learn of how the travelers, the nation of Israel particularly, how they rejoice for God's goodness by doing great thing, by this deliverance that they did not expect, they did not imagine, that they explained that it was really something that was great before the eyes of the nations around them, and they are very glad. So the Lord has done great things for them, and they were very glad. And that's my prayer for us today, that we will just be prompted to be thankful before the Lord, because we can count the many things that God did to us that really has amazed us. The Lord is more than able to do exceeding above abundantly than we ask or think. Is He not? So let me read this chapter, Psalm 126, verses 1 to 6 for today. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Jerusalem was plundered, and the land was threatened for a while in the past, but God won't allow it to happen for a long time. So Israel rejoiced in God's loving deliverance in an unexpected fashion, in a very mysterious and unexplainable fashion, but they can just marvel at the goodness of the Lord, that they said in verse 1, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. They were just like dreaming. Could it be true? It is something that was really unimaginable in its fashion, that it seems to them that they were just dreaming, but the reality is that it happened. Then in verse 2, their mouth was filled with laughter and their tongue with shouts of joy. Naturally, the result was that they were just elated and excited, and they shouts for joy, and they were just in great celebration. The nations recognized that this thing that happened to them was the work of God. The deliverance could be attributed to God alone. In other words, the nation around them glorified the Lord by recognizing that it was Him who had done all these things. There was no claim from the people themselves. They were unworthy to receive this great blessing. We don't know what captivity they had experienced in the past, or there were many of the captivities in the past that the nation of Israel had experienced, but we don't have an idea what's the specific captivity, but it was really something that was very, very difficult for them. And then the Lord just in a moment gave them this deliverance. So in verse 2, the later portion, the nations said, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. However, their problems were not over as yet. When they return to the promised land, they have to do some kind of hard work. So they prayed before the Lord that God will continue to restore their fortunes, like the rain or the flood or the torrents of water in the Negeb. The Negeb is a deserted place or a desert place, but God could water them because God can supply water into the Negeb. So in other words, when it seems that the place is so hard. It's dry, it's parched, and they could not plant anything. But God, in a moment, can surprise them by giving them rain so that the valleys will be watered, the pools will be filled with water. So that's how God will bless these people. So they were asking that, Lord, please send us the rain. Please send us the water. As you streams the Negev, you streams us with your blessing in order that we'll be able to continue to rebuild the land. But despite the blessing that he received, the unexpected deliverance from God, and it was attributed to God alone, they recognize that they have to work hard. They have to sacrifice, and they have to really exert some effort, their sweat and their tears. They have to do it in order that they could obtain the promised blessing or fruit. Look at how the psalmist or the writer described in verse 5 to 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The lesson for the travelers, even for us today, is that, yes, God has given us this salvation freely. We have nothing to contribute in this salvation except that we have just to believe and trust on what Christ did at the cross. He finished it all. There's nothing for us to contribute in that. It's a finished product. It's done. Salvation is done. But God has a plan in this world. He wants to progress his kingdom in this world, and it needs hard work. If we are to enjoy God's blessing, we must be willing to soil our hands. God promised to provide the rain, but we have to be industrious to prepare the land and to sow the seeds. It's easy for us to harvest, but we neglect sometimes to think and remember that the time of breaking the soil, harrowing, preparing the soil before planting, and watering, cultivating, and taking care of the field, we fail sometimes to see these sacrifices, and we see only the harvest. Yes, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Those who spend their time and efforts and their energy doing God's work by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, will someday will say, it was not really, it's really worthy to serve the Lord. And the promise of God is that the end will be a blessing. The end will be a rejoicing. They shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I pray that we will have this outlook, a long range outlook. We are not only going to be narrow-minded, think only of our present, but in the long run, in the future, because the Lord promised to us that if we are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we know that we will reap if we faint not. For as much as we know that we will obtain his promise, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's just continue to trust the Lord. Yes, he blesses us. He saved us. But he saved us in order to be faithful to serve him. To serve him, not slack in our service, but continue to be zealous, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Let us be faithful while it is day. The time will come that we are not able to work. Work as it is the day still. The night will come and we will not be able to work. So let's continue to sow seeds. Let's continue to prepare soil. Let's continue to do the work of God. As Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Let's be faithful on our giftedness, whatever we have in our hands, whatever opportunities we can serve before the Lord. Let's be faithful. God honors our labor in Him. We're doing this for His glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this beautiful chapter in the book of Psalms, that you are really gracious and merciful. You shower us with great blessings that is unimaginable and indescribable, unexpected in some mysterious ways, Lord, especially our salvation. We always are awed to think that you demonstrate your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for us when we were sinners. We were unworthy. Father, help us that we will be faithful in whatever we have right now. Help us to be faithful because you promised that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who keeps sowing, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his home, bringing his sheaves with him in glory. He will be fruitful. Thank you, Lord, for this promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.